Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. Want to make sure that we have our guest with us, Maggie Kiley.
Yes.
Are
hi.
You there?
Yes, hi.
Sorry about that little bit of hold time. The mic was doing its technical glitches that all us filmmakers know can happen.
Absolutely.
We
no
want to
problem.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you for the understanding. We appreciate you coming on the show today. And are very grateful to have you. We appreciate all the filmmakers that come on. We believe all aspects of film are film, and anybody who loves film just loves film, so nobody's better than anyone. So with that, I'm going to go into a brief bio of yours, and I know we had spoken the other day, and I will minimize the time because we're going to talk about Caught and the Los Angeles Film Festival and dabble in the Dial of Prayer. I know your acting credits. Mainly the really only thing I wanted to stick to, as much as I like Joaquin Phoenix and Mark Wahlberg and We Own the Night was such a brilliant film. I just wanted to see if there was anything that you could say about what it was like to be around such a wonderful human being like Christopher Reeve and his TV movie Rear Window.
Sure, yeah. Rear Window, the remake of Rear Window, was actually the acting job that got me my SAG card, which any actor knows is this really magical moment for you where you feel like you step across from sort of wanting to do it to doing it professionally. And, you know, having been obviously a fan of the original Alfred Hitchcock film, Rear Window, it was really fascinating to think that they were remaking it. And it was also wonderful to see that Christopher Reeve was, you know, coming back in. I think he was also a producer on the film and, you know, taking this role on. And it was a really, you know, wonderful experience. I played one of the characters who's, you know, living in the windows across the way that he's looking across to. I think we were the honeymoon couple. So all of us were in this great open building in Yonkers, and he was across the way. And yeah, it was a great set, and it was wonderful to get to meet him and work with him. And it was just a great entree into the world of professional acting and certainly filmmaking. Even when I was starting out as an actress, I was always really interested in how things were being shot and put together. So it was a great beginning step for me.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I got into film when I was like 3 years old when I saw Superman 2. So when I saw that you had worked with Christopher Reeve, I've never met anybody who's worked with him, and it's always kind of been a little, I guess, child fantasy, whatever you want to call it.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And it's more than just Superman, and of course it ended up being that he was just such an extraordinary human being, what he overcame and did with his life. One quick thing I want to say, I see Ryan Gosling here, and now he's getting into directing and acting, so this sets up a great path that we can go into what we're talking about with you. Maggie made a short film with Jesse Eisenberg, who of course so famous for playing Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network, and a great Oscar-nominated performance.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really interested in, as I was going through your, I will go through your bio, but as I'm just looking at your IMDb page right now, is people that you're around before you start directing. What were you really, like, what were some really huge moments, without being personal or specifically saying Jesse Eisenberg, because of course he hadn't done The Social Network yet, but where it was like you're around these actors that are like the biggest actors today, and mm-hmm. and you got to do your training with them.
Yeah, I think it really defined me as a storyteller, in that I was really fortunate when I studied acting at NYU, and I ended up in an undergraduate acting program that's run by the Atlantic Theater Company, which is a company founded by William H. Macy and David Mamet. And there's a very specific approach to the kinds of plays they do there and the way they talk about acting, and it really puts the intent of the storyteller at the center. And so as I was coming up, you know, as a young artist, I was learning from these, you know, incredible mentors who were out there doing the kind of work that I wanted to do. And so much of the work I'm doing now, I think, stems from not only what I learned in my time there, but those relationships. You know, my film Dial a Prayer, which came out last month, William H. Macy, you know, is the star of that film. I wrote the role specifically with him in mind. My first feature, Clark Gregg, who's, you know, Agent Coulson on The Avengers, is also an Atlantic Theater Company person. He came in and acted in that. So it's, yeah, I think it's important to learn from those wonderful teachers, and also, you know, while you're writing your own stories, figure out if there's a way to incorporate all that you've known along the way. Jesse Eisenberg, who was in my short film, which is really kind of how I started directing. I made that short I was at the AFI directing workshop for women. He and I had actually acted in a play together at the Atlantic Theater Company, which was how we were friends and how I knew him, you know, in a more, I guess you could say, intimate way. It's always something when you do a play with someone and you have to be on stage, you know, 8 times a week together. So we already had a strong bond, and having him be really in my first film, I felt very comfortable having him there because I trusted him and I knew that he would, you know, give me a hard time if it felt like I wasn't leading the ship the way I needed to. So it was a great first experience with him, and also Eloise Mumford, who's in that short as well, who now was just in 50 Shades of Grey, among many other projects she's done.
I always wonder what it's like, because like we had discussed, you know, people are just people, and I, you know, whoever is whoever that we talk about on this show, it's just, they're humans like us. But to see your friend become this iconic character that will last forever and will be, I mean, because Mark Zuckerberg is never going to go away. And to
right.
see your friend get an Oscar nomination, I've obviously never known anyone who got an Oscar nomination. So If you don't want to answer, it's okay. But what is that feeling like to see your peer, achieve something like that?
Gosh, I mean, even before I met Jesse, I really, looked up to him as an actor that I admired. I mean, his, The Squid and the Whale is one of my favorite films, and he was so wonderful in that. I think you, when you're in this business, you're surrounded by people that are succeeding on all different planes and in all different ways. There's years that are busier for everyone and years that are slower. And, I think it's just exciting, especially with someone like Jesse, who really is such a talented actor, and a hard worker. It's great to see him being, recognized and continuing to be offered really exciting roles and seeing him work in the way that he wants to work. I mean, I feel like that about so many of my friends and colleagues who are out there, doing it.
Well, what's cool about that is that you get to lend to that and you get to be a part of that too. And I think sometimes as humans, we forget that we also contribute to the friend that succeeds or we all succeed, but that whole, how far he went with that, there's probably, some kind of something where he would say that he got it from Maggie or he,
I mean, so I think every experience you have, with a director and you're always growing, and I've certainly learned from the actors I've directed, and the directors I've been directed by. So yeah, I think if you're really an evolving artist, you are always taking something away, from each experience.
Well, it is okay to compare yourself to David Fincher on this show.
Honestly,
no problem.
For me with that short, I think the fact that he put his faith in me and said, sure, I'll come and act in your first film and in your, it was technically a student film. And the fact that he came on board and said, yes, I trust that you can do this, that said a lot about me, in its own way. And then the fact that the film ended up being such a strong piece of material and, had a great life and still has a great life, that definitely helped me on my journey, coming up as a filmmaker for sure.
Well, before we move into your bio, is there a way that film can be seen? I mean, I know shorts usually...
It should still be on iTunes. The trailer is on YouTube. Yeah, it should be on iTunes.
Okay.
It was a top seller in the short film section of iTunes for a long time, so I believe it should still be for sale up there.
Well, congratulations to you for that.
Thanks.
And congratulations for your contributions to other artists, because I don't believe that anyone does it alone. So I believe that every artist you meet or talk to or work with, that they give you something. The title, Some Boys Don't Leave. That's that Jesse Eisenberg short, on iTunes. Please check it out. Support this, director's first short. And I will not go into what Some Boys Don't Leave means if it's a female director. That could have a million meanings.
It's told from the boy's perspective, actually. It's really his story, so.
Interesting. Wow, that's a whole nother podcast. I might have to bring that back. So with the bio, which we always do, and if there's anything, please feel free to just say that it doesn't need to be said. I don't mind if a guest tells me, just skip that. You know, filmmaker and actress Maggie Kiley was one of 8 directors selected to the American Film Institute's Directing Workshop for Women. For those of you that don't know, because I never like to act like somebody knows everything, AFI is probably the most prestigious film school in the world. NYU people would argue that. Since you went to both, you could probably argue with yourself. Let's see. And one of the 20 accomplished filmmakers chosen for the inaugural Global Directors Initiative at Fox Studios?
Yes.
Okay, Fox Studios. I love the Fox a lot. I got to go there once and hang out with a buddy of mine. It was just, I love that
place. Oh, cool.
That's
a new program. That's a new program that, part of trying to improve on the numbers of female and diverse directors working in both film and television. This is a specific program that Fox initiated this year to help improve those numbers. So I was one of a select group of really amazing female filmmakers that they brought in this fall and are helping us kind of introing us into that community, which has been really great.
Oh, okay. Well, this is excellent to know because as we can skip over the Jesse Eisenberg part, this film played over 50 festivals, garnering awards at Tribeca and Palm Springs Shorts Fest. And I have a friend, actually, who just got into Palm Springs Shorts Fest.
Oh,
congrats.
And,
yes, and I'm in process of trying to get her into one of the Film Fatale groups, because she's just going to be one of you guys in a year or two.
Great.
So we're looking at this, and I know there's been this surge of, there's been this kind of surge coming. I've been covering film festivals for 5 years, and I've seen this surge coming of, not in a bad way, I'm just saying it because I think it's cool, of there being more and more female directors, and it, you know, we won't take time to debate that it's the men's club, the boys' club, and that there's only Penny Marshall and Catherine Bigelow, but to see that, that through all these women so far that I've met through the Fatale group, it's Tribeca, it's Palm Springs, it's Cannes. So it's not like some college film festival, which is fine. Every film festival is fine and deserves what it does. And this is really amazing to me, and I was really happy to come across this group. And so as we go more into this bio for Maggie, she was a recipient of the Panavision New Filmmaker Grant for her debut feature, Brightest Star, which stars Chris Lowell, Rose McClever, Clark Gregg, and my favorite actress, which I did get permission to be a little bit of a geek about, Allison Janney. Mm-hmm. And theatrically in 15 cities and in addition to VOD and all online platforms. Is that still available? Because I watch anything.
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix. It's on iTunes.
Netflix, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's there. It is definitely there.
Okay, cool. Because I'm such a movie junkie, I was about to stop the interview and put it in my Netflix queue, but then I thought that would be really rude.
that's all right.
I'm that bad with wanting to watch films. I'm a film historian, and it just so thank you for telling me that, because again, what one, just like as I had mentioned to you when we talked, the, and even if you wanted to take 10 seconds to answer it, you know, what is it with her? Where does that come from? Is she just a force of nature? Is it just that she was acting since she was three? What is it?
Allison Janney?
Yeah, that just makes her command the scene.
You know, I feel like I've been so fortunate with a lot of the actors I've gotten to work with, and she certainly is no exception, that they're very intelligent actors. I mean, Allison plays a really interesting character in Brightest Star. She's actually an astronomer who's living and working at an observatory sort of outside of New York City, which is where the film takes place, and the title character, this boy, you know, sort of ends up there kind of at the end of his rope, not sure what to do next. And they have these, you know, a series of really great sort of deeper soul-searching kind of scenes. And Allison just came up, I think we just had her for the weekend. And I didn't have a lot of time with her, but right off the bat, she had, you know, so many questions specific to the scenes, but also who this woman was, what an astronomer was like. We were at an actual working observatory, and she spent a bunch of time with the on-site astronomer who was, I think, in his 80s, this fantastic guy, and he sat with her and showed her how everything worked. And, you know, so she is so thorough in what she's doing. She's naturally exquisite in that she's so centered and grounded, and she immediately puts you at ease, and she's thoughtful. But, you know, I was certainly impressed with how specific she was in her prep, you know, for this, you know, certainly not a tremendous role and certainly not a huge movie, but she took it, you know, she took it with the same amount of seriousness and specificity that she would anything. And I found that really, really impressive. She's also just, you know, very gracious, and I feel like so many of the actors who I've been able to work with have been like that, even though it was my first feature. You know, she took the direction. She didn't challenge me or sort of roll her eyes or kind of do it the way she wanted to. She really,
she didn't,
you know, she really listened.
American.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
so yeah, it was really, really great.
That's an important part of one of the reasons why the producers of this podcast and I, when we sat around and thought about things that we wanted to get the audience to know, filmmakers, people that just want to hear about the business, learn from, I mean, we're going to have grips, we're going to have anybody, anything that's film. And so what you're saying about her just being a person and being gracious, I think for those of us that have had any form of success in the film business, I mean, yes, there is the butt heads that get to the top, but usually the ones that you meet that are so high up, they're just so nice because about halfway through, if they weren't, they wouldn't get past halfway through. So it's not shocking at all to hear that, what is she, a 7 or 8 time Emmy winner? And remember when I discovered The West Wing, I thought, why is this actress not in movies beating Meryl Streep for Oscars? So thank you for letting me talk about her. I appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to credit Chris Lowell, who's the lead in Brightest Star, who's a wonderful filmmaker in his own right. He made a feature of his own. He had worked with Allison in The Help, which was part of how she came on to do Brightest Star, because she was such a fan of his. And Brightest Star is really his movie. He's in, you know, every frame of it. And so that's always something that I'm not sure everyone knows, is how much of your film can be built on friendships, you know, if someone else someone else or knew of you from someone else. It really, your relationships are the thing, I think, that can sustain you the longest. So that was nice because they were such great friends. They had a lot of fun on set.
Yeah, and she was great in The Help. She also has a very small role in the James Brown biopic.
Oh.
She just is like someone who's at a club, and she's portrayed as someone who doesn't like black people. But then when James Brown's band starts playing, she starts dancing. And it was really interesting to see her. She was literally in like three shots. So it really showed me when you had just mentioned her graciousness to think I can do, you know, three or four shots and not have to be I'm CJ Craig. Because let's face it, how many people in Hollywood would do that? Your second film, Dial of Prayer, was also picked up for distribution. This is starring Brittany Snow, William H. Macy, Glenn Headley. The film releases theatrically and on all VOD platforms in spring of 2015.
That movie came out on April 10th. Yeah, that movie just April came 11th. Out. Yeah, it played in 10 cities. Thank you. Yeah, we played in 10 cities, and we were released on it's, you know, all basically all digital platforms, and not Netflix as of yet, but iTunes and on demand. And I think our retail just started this past week. I know we're for sale retail in Walmart, among a few other places. So that's a movie I'm really happy to have out in the world, because it's a really unique story, and Brittany Snow truly gives the performance to end all performances. She's so, so wonderful in this film.
Yes, I wanted to say that I cannot stand if something ever comes up where I mention something that I've done in the business. But I have just the worst samurai action movie released nationally in Walmart. So when you said that you had a William H. Macy movie in Walmart, I was just like, you know, wow, okay, now I have something to aspire to.
Oh, that's nice.
It's still Walmart.
Yeah,
it's
it's
still there. But, that's, I think we both know that's the importance of filmmakers is appreciation. And, if you're in a store, you're in a store, and there's so many filmmakers out there that want to be in stores. So this is really cool that you had it for a second film. And now as we go into, so right now you're at two that have been released, and then Caught is going to be premiering at the LA Film Festival. And so as I'm going through this interview, I'm probably the least sexist male on the planet. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, why did I not hear of this director until I met Lori and other members of the group, and members of the group reached out to me, and it almost makes me want to be a woman so I can, make films that get in Palm Springs and not end up with samurai movies in Target or Walmart.
Palm Springs Shorts Fest has movies of all shapes and sizes. there's plenty of samurai movies at Palm Springs. Yeah, this I don't think so, you need I to mean, be a chick to get in anywhere. That
oh,
we're
no,
in.
I just mean group. What your guys' group
oh,
is
yeah,
doing
the
is
film fatale.
So amazing.
Sure.
And I'm so thankful that I came across it. I came across it from interviewing Lori Welts about Scout, that was at the Newport Beach Film Festival.
Right.
And it was just serendipitous. A programmer sold me on it, and I thought, well, I just want to watch it because I've done a road trip through Texas, and it's kind of about that. And then I emailed her, and she told me about this group. So now as an actress, well, we will talk about Cop, but just real quickly as an actress, we mentioned the Atlantic Theater Company, the Bachelor of Fine Arts from NYU, And let's see, she's directors James Gray, Leslie Linka Glater, Daisy Von, I'll pronounce it wrong. I don't want to pronounce it wrong.
Daisy Mayer, yeah.
Mayer, okay. And
Daisy Mayer made an amazing movie called Party Girl, which was many years ago, but it premiered at Sundance, and now she's a really big director in television. But her second film was this great movie called The Guru, which was Heather Graham, and I had a really small part in that. But I've known Daisy for a long time, and she's a wonderful mentor for me because she's directing so much in episodic. So she's a great person to know. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind and respectful, but I do like Heather Graham. I am of the male species, respectfully. So she recently appeared in Andrew Jarecki's All Good Things alongside Ryan Gosling, Kirsten Dunst, and Frank Langella. Frank Langella, for those of you that don't know, because many of you, myself included, did not. It's kind of funny. I wonder what actors, how they feel about this when they catch a big break and then all of a sudden everyone says, I've seen you in 20 different movies.
Right.
And it's
sure.
Like,
yeah.
Frank Langella's in everything.
Frank Langella.
Made
yeah, yeah. No, he's wonderful.
Frost Nixon.
Yeah.
And that movie was so great. And I thought it was so controversial.
Movie.
Play a character that has that many demons and then Kirsten Dunst. And then I will have one question for you before we get into Caught, is because I do have a lot of Ryan Gosling female fans that listen. Were you the girlfriend that was laying in the bed on the poster?
No. All Good Things is the story, you know, The Jinx, which was just on HBO and Robert Durst and all of that whole controversy. That All Good Things is the narrative feature that Andrew Jarecki made before he made this 8-part documentary series about this suspected killer. And the film, in the film, Ryan Gosling plays Robert Durst and Kirsten Dunst plays his wife, who ends up disappearing, and they are investigating, you know, the murder. And my character existed only in the sort of the flashbacks where I played Kirsten's sister. Nick Offerman played her brother. So we were sort of the family around her as she was dating him and getting married and all of that ahead of the sort of mystery of the film. So it was a great project to be involved with because it had just such a fantastic cast, and Andrew's a really visionary filmmaker, and it was my last sort of big movie job as an actor before I started making my own films.
And, you know, Kirsten Dunst, on a side note, I love her in Elizabethtown, but that movie just so, people were so amped on Almost Famous and Vanilla Sky that they just took it all out
yeah.
on Elizabethtown, but she's I feel she's so
bad.
Good in that film.
She's wonderful. She's a really kind person and great. I think she's really quite good in All Good Things. It's a great hard part, but she did a great job.
Yeah, well, and I won't even say Ryan Gosling's good because you don't have to convince many women of that.
I know. He's very charming.
I wanted to make sure that you weren't the girl on the cover because I didn't want my email blowing up later from my female listeners.
No.
So now.
Nope.
With,
I'm pretty sure that's Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah,
not me.
Yeah, I appreciate you saving my afternoon. With Caught now, there was it's going to be coming up at the Los Angeles Film Festival, and we have please forgive me if I press on the wrong. Why don't you just go ahead and give the date, because I pressed on the wrong link. And
sure.
I don't wanna...
Yeah, we're world premiering at LAFF in the Nightfall section, which is the genre section. It's an all-new section this year. There are only 8 films. And we premiere on Friday, June 12th at 11 p.m. It's an 84-minute thriller. It stars Anna Camp, Stephanie Scott, Sam Page, and Amelia Rose Blair. And it's, I like to say it's sort of a mashup between Heathers and Fatal Attraction. It's a fun, juicy, amusing thriller that sort of descends into something pretty dark. It's called Caught, and there still are tickets available as of right now.
Fatal Attraction and Heathers. That's a really interesting, unique mix. For those of you that haven't seen Heathers, it's a very cult film from the 80s. Winona Ryder and Christian Slater. And, of course, everyone knows Fatal Attraction, Boy and the Bunny.
I mean, Heathers, I guess I reference Heathers because there's this sort of, like, sorority sister hazing vibe that movie has that Caught definitely uses.
Well, you know, not to be bad or anything, but us guys do have a thing where we say, you know, like, is that girl going to boil your bunny? And I'm not saying that in a sexist way. So that movie really...
No. I get it. Yeah. That's funny.
So, now, with Caught, obviously, because we want people to come out, I see here that it says that the trailer is on YouTube. And again, that's the LA Film Festival. And
it's actually not, the trailer isn't on YouTube. There's a scene from the movie on the LAFilmFest.com website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where if you go to Caught on their website, there's a scene up there and a blurb about the movie.
Okay, make sure you guys go do that because it was interesting. It was intriguing. It did look like a dark, nice, late night film. Definitely something I'm going to come out and support. They tell us credentialing like a few days before the festival, so sometimes we don't know. And then also, as a filmmaker, I'm sure you already know by now because you played Tribeca and Palm Springs, but a lot of festivals, in case you they make press wait, and so sometimes press never even sees the movies.
Wow.
And it's did you know this? I'm not like sounding condescending. I'm saying, did you know that?
No, I didn't. I mean, I'm sure it's a whole process.
There's festivals that what they do is they wait to see if it sells out, and then they let you in, and then as press, it makes it hard because it's like, well, how can we review the movies? And how can the filmmakers get reviews? So
I mean, I know at LAFF they have specific screenings for press that are separate from my night.
Okay.
I know there's another time that they're screening for press. So hopefully that will alleviate that issue. Hopefully.
Thank you for letting me know that
yeah, sure.
I would love to support that. Now the other thing we wanted to do since we're running into where you said you wanted to keep it, we wanted to give you a chance for anything that you wanted to, something else you have going on, a website, if there's a fellow filmmaker that's in the festival too. This is kind of the last few minutes of the show are always kind of just the open forum for the guest.
Gosh, I mean, Caught is certainly the most current project I have. You know, that I would love support on that. All of my films and info on my films and my work is at my website, maggiekiley.com. You know, I'm a huge champion for female filmmakers. If there are female filmmakers out there, the American Film Institute's Directing Workshop for Women is an incredible program. A short film out of this year's class just won Cine Foundation at Cannes, which is a huge honor. So, yeah, I think like you said, when you discover actually how many women are out there making exciting films and television content, it's, you know, there's a whole lot of us. So support is important.
I don't
important.
Even know two guys that have gone in, that have gone in Cannes or Palm Springs. So
yeah,
it really says something. I think there's I think there's so many, how can I put it, perspective that we just don't have. On this show, I forgot to say that my opinions are my opinions and your opinions are your opinions. But I'm not afraid to admit that men are kind of stupid. And so it's not a surprise that, you know, I know 20 filmmakers and none of us have got to go to the Cannes Film Festival, but mm-hmm. after shooting out an email, I get three that are there. So there is something in the perspective and the graciousness and the attitude and all of that. And
I think it's just not like a female filmmaker can only make, you know, like a chick movie. You know, I mean, Brightest Star is really a coming of age story about a guy. You know, it's him getting over heartbreak and him trying to figure out if he should be defined by career, defined by his sort of inner dreams. You know, I think I'm a storyteller. I mean, I happen to be a woman. So, of course, I'm going to move the camera the way I want to move the camera. But I think whether you're a man or a woman, everyone has their own story to tell. So, yeah, I think the more conscious we are of everybody, the better off we'll be.
That's what I love about, and I won't even remotely spend a second about his personal life, but that's what I love about Woody Allen is that he is, a lot of his films are female characters, and females complain about what he did in his personal life, but they don't say Annie Hall wasn't accurate or Diane Weiss wasn't accurate and Hannah and her sisters. I mean, four or five women have won Oscars with him and he manages to capture these nuances. And he's always kind of been one of my favorite filmmakers because I've always thought it would be fun to make a film where a woman sees you in the lobby and says, wow, you captured how we feel, because guys writing about guys, I mean, any guy's just going to be like, oh yeah, that's how stupid we are. So I think it's really cool that you guys are jumping the side, telling male stories and capturing it and providing these things and not putting up a barrier the way a lot of male filmmakers do, the machismo. So with that, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show.
It was a real pleasure
to talk with you. And we also, if you have other friends or filmmakers, please let them know if they need press or support. And then also what we do with the show, and it's all, of course, up to the filmmaker, is every guest on the show, we kind of consider it like we're building a family tree. So if your next film you want to come back and promote, you're just automatically able to do that because we want to create a community. And, you know, to me, film's not just a competition and a cutthroat thing. It's a art form for all of us to share. So we want to make sure that filmmakers know they can come back and even just talk movies. I mean, the title of the show is Talking Pictures. So even if you wanted to just call up one day and talk about your favorite director for 5 days, we're going to start doing episodes like that pretty soon. So we just want to have it be fun.
Awesome. Great. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Paul.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll be in touch. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.